special needs. For more information, applications, or to volunteer, call 518-672-4202 or online at high-n-mighty.com.
Good afternoon, and welcome to The Farm Show. It's your host, Kieran Riley, here on a beautiful, hot, muggy Monday afternoon. And we are going to be discussing many things farming. As Phil Grant says on Wednesday morning when I come in, all things farming. So we're going to go over a whole bunch of cool news stories, updates, weather reports, and whatnot. So welcome, welcome, welcome. And I'm just going to go over a few things here. Don't forget about the farmers markets. I'm going to make a little announcement. All the farmers markets, I have a list for Columbia County. I have to work on that. I got to get the Greene County one as well. So just to read off the farmers markets, Chatham Farmers Market, Fridays, 4 to 7 p.m. Claremont Country Farmers Market, that's Saturdays, 10 to 2. Copaic Farmers Market, looks like 2nd and 4th Saturdays from 9 to 1. Hillsdale Farmers Market, 1st and 3rd Saturdays, 9 to 12. And the Hudson Farmers Market, Saturday, 9 to 1. Kinderhook Farmers Market, Saturday, 8 to 12:30. And the Lebanon Valley Farmers Market, Sunday, 10 to 2 p.m. Philmont Farmers Market, that would be the one closest to my house. Wonderful little farmers market there on Sundays from 10 to 1. And not on this list is actually the Stuyvesant Farmers Market as well, up there in Stuyvesant, right down by the railroad tracks near the river. Beautiful, right in front of the old train station. It's no longer a train station, but wonderful building. If you're ever up that way on a Friday night, don't have the exact times. I believe it's late afternoon, 5 or 6 p.m. And that's the report for the farmers markets. Hopefully folks are getting out there, buying your local produce, supporting your local farmers. Big shout out to all the folks. Shout out to the folks in the field sweating right now, probably pulling weeds. The weeds are going crazy. So any farmers out there listening, hello, hello. Let's see, a couple reports here. Reuters is reporting that the UN has issued a statement saying that green technology is vital to end world hunger and that governments should support small-scale agriculture. This comes from the UN's report titled The World Economic and Social Survey. And I think many of us knew right away that small-scale agriculture is definitely a healthy antidote to the many, many problems associated with industrial and very large-scale agriculture. So good for the UN for making a pretty sensible statement, seems like to me. Interesting news piece, the German conglomerate Bayer Crop Science. If you ever heard the name Bayer or seen it on a chemical label or somewhere, has to pay $750 million in the genetically modified rice lawsuit that was brought recently, well, a couple years ago. Farmers in the United States, particularly in, I believe it was Arkansas. Arkansas actually grows half of the United States rice. You might not think that the United States, we're not a big rice-growing nation, but there's actually a lot of rice being grown right now, and half of that is all in Arkansas. Other states include Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, and Texas. So rice farmers are not too happy with the fact that an unapproved, experimental, genetically modified rice strain was found in our food supply. The health, you know, it hasn't been even approved for human consumption. And even when it is, there's many, many doubts. However, just looking at the sheer numbers, these farmers were able to bring a massive lawsuits on lost sales. So they came at it from an economic bent, not a health bent, saying that the fact that these sales, these GMO rice came into the food supply, that it we're no longer to sell it for organic, for example. Anyhow, so I thought that was an interesting story. Africa is experiencing an enormous maize shortage at the moment. This also, you know, goes into the UN report. It kind of segues nice with that story. Major corn shortage happening right now over there. And the GMO companies, the Monsantos and all that, are trying to exploit that as a way to sell their GMO seeds, because they're trying to say that it grows more and helps world hunger, which has also been proven to not be true. The E. coli story from Germany, the sprouts and the E. coli bacteria. Now, that's kind of a scary story over there. Part of the disturbing part about that story, in my opinion, is that we don't really know exactly where this came from. All we know is that it's a very unique strain of E. coli, very deadly, very antibiotic resistant, and unusual. Some scientists have claimed that they think it was manufactured in a lab, that there's no way this could have naturally occurred, judging on their knowledge of E. coli in general. The fact that genetically modified science and experimentation produces massive amounts of waste, and this waste gets put into the environment in one way or another, whether it's through sewage, ending up in composting, and in some cases even in fertilizer. The bacteria from the organisms are supposedly killed off, but the DNA and RNA strains that they've isolated are so prolific that they do not break down and they do not go away. And so now we're seeing very bizarre strains or pathogens that are introduced that are extremely dangerous and antibiotic resistant. Let's see here. And the stuff never breaks down. We have to look at how we're doing the science a little better. So had to bring that up. Another grim story. I'm going to go through a couple of grim stories here, and then we'll play some uplifting music, perhaps, and go over some positive news. But on the farming front, things always seem to be a little bit grim out there. You know, some serious weather patterns have hurt a lot of farmers nationally. I mean, all over the globe, really. But even here in Columbia County, we're experiencing probably a little bit of vegetable shortage, or at least delays in some of these veggies in particular, because of the extremely wet weather. Talked to a farmer this morning. He's trying to get his hay done. He wants to cut it and bale it, and he's just been fighting the weather. Doesn't know if it was going to rain or not, and it's been difficult for those guys. Incidentally, speaking about hay, I noticed for the first time, I never really knew about this. I should be more informed, I guess, but I noticed that they're making these bales out of these enormous square cubes in the field. They're getting rid of the donut system. You know, the brie cheese? It looks like brie cheese plunked there in the middle of the field. And the hay bales are enormous. They're like 6x6x6, maybe? Supposedly they stack easier, they handle better. So if you see those big, huge, square ones, that's becoming the standard now out there, it seems like. So, hay season. It's hot, good for haying right now, so a lot of people are out there. Make hay while the sun is shining and while the weather is hot, I suppose. Unfortunately, we're experiencing nationally, but also here in New York, the disappearance of farmland. What that means is that farmland is now going out of production, not being used for agricultural purposes at a pretty steady rate over the past few years. And that's a major concern. That's a major concern for everybody. It should be. These are the folks growing our food, you know, and when they don't have a place to farm, for whatever the reasons are, a lot of economic reasons, a lot of financial reasons, the prices of everything are going up, so these farms are starting to sell off. A neighbor where, down in Claverack, another dairy farm down there closed up. Another one over in Hillsdale closed. Yeah, so Columbia County is experiencing the dairy farms closing down, selling them off. It's a major trend that really needs to be addressed. And there are groups such as Columbia Land Conservancy, groups of farmers, people figuring out how are we going to maintain our wonderful agricultural heritage here in Columbia County. And did you folks know that agriculture is actually the number one industry in New York State. I didn't realize that. It's the number one industry. It's huge. I thought it would be Wall Street or, I don't know, cement or anything. But no, apparently agriculture. So I wanted to share that with folks. Moving on. Another hot button issue that's been on the table in all areas of farming in the state is the immigration issue. So I'm just going to ramble about that just a little bit. The H-2A program, as it's called, allows guest workers to come if they sign up and give all their information and whatnot, and farms are allowed to employ immigrant workers or migrant workers or guest workers. There's so many names floating around out there. But now they're making it a little more difficult. There's been an ongoing trend towards somehow blaming folks who come here to work on our farms in particular on a variety of problems. And this is an interesting one because conservatives generally want to clamp down the borders. And, you know, quite a few farmers in upstate tend to be conservative, maybe the larger scale farmers. But on this issue, it's basically cut and dry. It's black and white. As far as they're concerned, they're so heavily dependent on migrant labor. So this is a real interesting how this is going to pan out. The new program being suggested in the Department of Labor, which is being fought right now by farmer groups, is a e-verification program, as it's called. The E-Verify, I guess the E standing for something computer-related, maybe? Anyhow, basically what it is to get a huge database down for everybody coming in from a different country on these visas and whatnot, and it's actually going to make it even more and more digitized and actually more difficult. You'd think it would be easier somehow to figure this one out, but, you know, it's definitely going to make it more difficult, and therefore farmers are pretty concerned about that one. There's a dairy labor shortage in the state as well, and this ties right into the same story. Even with the H-2A and the allowance for migrant workers, it's really hard to find someone who's going to come and work on your dairy farm for maybe not the best pay and long hours, and so a lot of it's you know, migrant workers as well. So we're going to just keep you updated on this one here on the agricultural programming here. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM. This is your host, Kieran Riley, and we're talking about farming. I probably am going to play you a song at some point soon. I think we're going to go Irish today. I got a few Irish CDs with ag themes on them, so we're going to let some of them rip. But this is listener-supported hands-on radio, ACRA, for Columbia Green Counties. It's a hot, hot day out there. People are in the park and trying to stay cool, it looks like. And folks are out there in the fields as we speak and possibly even picking tomatoes. I heard that the tomatoes are in, although I gotta admit, I haven't actually seen one yet, a big bright red one. I gotta get more in the loop here, folks. Tomatoes are in. Cukes, more cukes are in. Potatoes are actually, I had some potatoes the other night, they were absolutely fantastic. Mike, if you're listening, thanks again for the first potatoes of the season. Gotta love those home fries. Our Hawthorne Valley shares have been thriving. They seem to be doing pretty well. Big shout out to the farmers over at Hawthorne Valley, Sarah and Katie in particular. And keep those veggies coming. Absolutely. So, let's see what else we have here. We're going to be keeping you updated. One area of agriculture that's particularly interested me over the years is the more unusual crops. I'm planning to get Mushroom Francis up in here, and Holly Gardner at some point is going to come talk about mycelium as well. But the whole idea of planting things and growing things that are just not usually grown in this area, because it's really hard to make a profit off of it generally. Things like hops, for example. Yes, indeed. Hops for beer. Apparently New York State is now growing more hops and is going to try to bring them back. Back in the day, you know, C.H. Evans Brewery down the road and stuff, they had to get their hops from somewhere, and they weren't trucking them from the Pacific Northwest. So, I mean, we're talking late 1700s, right? 1800s. People just grew hops. Yeah, it's not the best climate. Yeah, it's difficult. Probably hard to make a ton of money off of it, but hey, I'm all for growing everything local you can. So we'll keep you updated on what's happening with that. Our neighbors over in Harlemville are growing rice again, I think for the third, fourth, fifth year maybe. And they've seemed to be doing pretty well, especially we had those really wet years there a couple years back. The really wet one, I think, actually helped out for the rice growing. They had the right idea. And but I see those rice paddies over there, and have to check in on them over there and maybe give you a report on the rice farming in Harlemville. But it's happening. We have wineries now. We got grapes growing. You know, not the best climate, whatever. I don't know. But, you know, I've tried some grapes from around here. I remember growing up having grapes, and it always tasted good to me. Yeah, so that's one little topic I wanted to bring up. I was up in the Pioneer Valley up near Amherst, Northampton, and their agriculture seems to be doing really well, especially with the CSA movement. We've been having CSAs pop up in Columbia and Green, you know, here and there, and it's really fantastic. And I'll have to get Anna Duon from the Farmscape Ecology did a majorly comprehensive report on all the farms in our county. Hoping to get some more info from her, but I just found it so interesting, the Pioneer Valley, that there's 40 new CSAs this season alone. That's double the number in 1 year. 38 CSAs sold 3,500 shares regionally last year, and to me, that's really positive news. Great, great for them. So, we talked about the tough weather, wet weather, delays in the Midwest, the big, huge farms. You know, I don't know how folks have been affected so much on the smaller scale farms, whether it's the same proportion of disaster, but some of these large scale farms have been claiming close to disaster status, you know, so pretty serious things happening. I'm going to play you an Irish tune. These are CDs that, incidentally, I should mention that belong to the late Carl Wilson from Camp Hill Village in Copake, New York. He passed away at a young age not too long ago, a couple months ago, and had an enormous Irish collection. I've been kind of going through them, and his mother donated them to be played on WGXC here. So in memory of Carl Wilson, I would like to play some of his Irish stuff, which has all these great ag themes. This one is called The Hare in the Corn. I don't know if anyone's experienced any rabbits in the corn, but I actually don't know if bunnies do all that much damage in the corn. I know the deer do. So anyhow, I just thought of folks, and here we go. We're off and running. This is Paul McGrattan from his album The Frost Is All Over. A little jig called The Hare in the Corn. Why not? WGXC 90.7. Rocking and rolling on the Ag Show. This is Kieran Riley. Thank you. Okay, thank you, Paul McGrattan. The Frost Is All Over. That is his song, The Hare and the Corn. Had to play it, folks. Had to play it. So, yes, indeed. We've been talking all about stories in the news, farmers markets in Columbia County. Incidentally, about the farmers market, EBT is now being accepted in Philmont. EBT being the electronic version of food stamps. So people receiving food stamps can now go to the Philmont Farmers Market and get food. And I think that's a fabulous step forward in the right direction. I don't know why. It's too bad that that never could be the case before if it wasn't. But good for the Farmers Market folks over there in Philmont. These folks can now bring their card and they redeem them in for $1 wooden tokens. Didn't they say don't take any wooden nickels? Where does that come from anyways? But these guys get wooden tokens, and you can purchase all foods there, prepared foods, veggies, with these wooden tokens, and the farmers then cash them in. And the cool part, one cool part about it is that you can even get plants to plant with your wooden tokens. So instead of buying a handful of tomatoes with your wooden tokens, you can get a couple of tomato plants and maybe have a whole bunch of tomatoes. So that's, I thought that was a pretty neat development over there. That's the Farmers Market Federation of New York, I believe, was involved with that. So good for them. Philmont. I also wanted to give a big congratulations to Liz LeJudis from Living Lightly on the Earth. Her show is called Living Lightly on the Earth. It's the first Monday of the month. I'm the second Monday of the month. And last Monday, she had a wonderful program. I just wanted to, maybe people missed it, but I wanted to share with everyone the extent of her interviews with, and she had a couple of intern. I think an intern actually did a lot of these interviews, but really great questions, interviewing predominantly dairy farmers. That's something that we are going to be covering more and more here on WGXC. So it was great to hear this program on dairy farmers. Columbia County is such a major dairy county, and there's so many issues facing our dairy farmers that we need to stay on top of it. And one thing in particular that struck me was this interview with this 92-year-old woman who's the matriarch of an old dairy family here. And she was just fantastic, talking about she was asked, what is a major change that she's seen? I mean, she's been around since the early 1900s, you know, grew up farming. And she said that one of the main things is the mechanization. That's the major change that she's seen. That mechanization of the farms has just changed the entire ballgame. You know, she remembers just the horses and hand tools, and now with the machinery, she said it's just a totally different ballgame. Thought that was interesting. And she interviewed a father and son farming duo, which was absolutely fantastic. They talked about some of the problems facing the dairy industry right now. Some of these problems involving property taxes, the low prices of milk, despite the supposed recent highs that are claimed. You know, it's kind of like gasoline right now. It goes up a little or down a little, but it's still high. But for milk, it's still low. They mentioned something about the weekenders. Weekend folks, any weekend folks out there owning property, just remember that these farming families are trying to grow food, and they talked about weekenders trying to dictate when they can go plow, when they can start their tractor, when to spread manure, and what kind of noises to make, even though it's their own farm, which I understand. You know, they come up on the weekend, they want to enjoy their property and the house they bought up here, but there's been a little bit of friction. I've heard that from other farmers as well, so it was interesting to hear this from these guys. The cost of inputs, feed, petroleum in particular, all the petroleum-based stuff is just skyrocketing. So stuff's kind of tough out there right now, especially for the dairy farmers. And they interviewed the guy from Hudson Valley Fresh. I forget his name now. I'm really sorry about that. But he has started, or a group of people, I guess they started this Hudson Valley Fresh Cooperative, where the farmers get together and they basically are able to be guaranteed the, you know, the $21 per hundredweight, which it absolutely is necessary just to break even. And quite often, you know, these prices will go down to $17, for example. Every now and then it'll get above 21, but generally it's a real struggle to just be paid a livable wage or a livable price to operate your dairy farm. I just don't understand, you know, why the system is set up such. It's just, to me, it boggles my mind. And the cows suffer, the people suffer, the farmers suffer, you know, and the quality of milk continues to go down if we don't start paying attention to the plight of our dairy industry. Anyhow, so that's some interesting stuff. And that is archived on WGXE. It's archived. You can go onto the archives, and for any shows that you've missed and you've heard about, you just plug in what you need for the info. It's pretty user-friendly. If I can use it, just about anyone out there can go to the archives and use it, give the info, and you can hear a show. So let's see, a couple other things. Maybe I'll get biodynamic on y'all for a minute here and just talk about the Stella Natura planting and sowing calendar. We always love to pay attention to what's happening with the constellations and the moon phases and which constellation the sun is in, for example. Today, earlier this morning was a flower. There goes the CSX train. Excuse me. Boy, here we go. It's going to rumble for a minute here. This morning was a flower day. And then this afternoon, it was a leaf day. Meaning, just to remind you, why is it a flower day and a leaf day? Well, each sign of the constellation, each sign of the zodiac is associated with a different element of the four elements: air, water, fire, earth. And through experimentation and through ancient wisdom, people working with biodynamics, one in particular, Maria Toon, have found that the properties of the leaf go very well with the water signs. So when they are planted or handled, for example, or transplanted, when it is the sun is in the water sign, then it's good for your leafy crops. Right now the sun is in Gemini, which is an air sign. And the moon is in Scorpio. So it's the moon which is in the water sign right now, Scorpio being a water sign, and therefore I think corresponding with the leaf day being the leaf day. And this Friday is a full moon. Full moon this Friday, folks. That means we're in the major waxing stage at the moment. And that means most likely heavy growth. If it rains, it hasn't really seemed to rain substantially lately out there. But nevertheless, conditions seem to be very favorable otherwise for major growth. So hopefully water's getting out on all the crops out there adequately. Let's see, this coming up. Oh, another good positive story. I said this on Phil's morning show. GMO salmon has been banned. The FDA, through the Congress, has prohibited the sale and development of GMO salmon. That is a major, major positive story. The fact that it was even a question to me is the negative part. But apparently the salmon would grow twice as large, twice as fast. They found some gene from an ocean eel, and were able to splice it in there, and yep, there goes that salmon. Pounds and pounds before you know it. So that's a good one. I definitely want to acknowledge the Hawthorne Valley Farm again, but this time I want to acknowledge also the farm-based education part of it. They have such wonderful programs over there, particularly for children, with the visiting students program going over there, or kids will come from urban areas. I'm saying this partly because also my nephew just finished up cooking camp. 2 weeks of cooking camp. We had him here on the air to talk about biodynamic compost, and he's 10, And he went to the Hawthorne Valley Cooking Camp for 2 weeks and loved every minute of it. Absolutely loved it. These guys go out into the fields and hang with the animals a little bit. They walk the sheep, take the sheep for a little stroll, and then, of course, go harvest vegetables, cook them up, learn all about recipes, good, healthy, wonderful stuff. And he's from L.A., and he just loved it. So good for them to keep up the good work over there, Hawthorne Valley Farm. And, of course, the school, big hello to the school, especially to the kindergarten and kinder camp, the little guys running around, also going to the farm, I think, every day. I think they go to the farm every day to check it out. So I definitely would like to share with listeners more and more about what's happening in the farm-based education world. That's something I feel like, to address our agricultural problems, we're going to have to educate our kids a little better and how to work on farms and to be interested in it. And it's a lot of positive trends. College kids graduating right now. Bill McKibben spoke over there at Hawthorne Valley School and was talking about, he's a professor up at Middlebury College, and he was saying how some of his best, brightest students are actually ditching the books and putting on overalls and starting CSAs up left and right. And that's just such a positive trend. We need young farmers. And, oh, the other thing, young farmers. Speaking of young farmers, we have the Greenhorns radio show also on the fourth Monday of the month, 2 to 3. Just want to give them a hello. The Greenhorns is Severin interviews farmers all over the country. She has and recorded farmers, and she has farmers call in, mostly young, new, beginning farmers in the CSA kind of world, and it's some interesting stuff. I missed it because I was away in Boston this weekend, but TSL apparently aired a documentary called The Greenhorns, documenting her trip across country. This was at TSL this Saturday. Maybe they'll be showing it again at some point. I hope so. I'll have to find that out. Maybe I can get them to show it one more time, but yeah, Greenhorns documentaries that sounded really interesting. Just to show you, proof is in the pudding right there. You got farms popping up, young folks. We had Smiler's Farm folks. We had them in here. They've been getting going over there right here in Hudson, as a matter of fact. Greenport, technically. Or Claverick, is it? I don't know. Right around the corner. Right around the corner. Smiler's Farm. Check their CSA out. Fog and Thistle Farm. Gotta give a big shout out to those folks down there. For all I know, they might even be listening in the field right now. Why? Because they do crazy things like that sometimes. Because WGXC is that good. Anyways, hello to those folks. And I missed the Ag Therapy last Wednesday. I go down there, or I want to try to go more on the Wednesdays. They have a weeding party. People get together Wednesday afternoons, pull the weeds, and it all seems so much easier when you have so many people, and it's fun. So maybe I'll make it down there. I call it my ag therapy, getting down there in the dirt and pulling some weeds and whatnot. I've been doing too much painting lately. Blech. So what else is in the news? Stink bugs are in the news big time. I gotta tell Phil about it too. He's interested in the stink bugs. They've been appearing left and right. I don't know why or how and where. I haven't seen any, but I've heard reports. Ulster County has reported, a lot of farms reported heavy, heavy numbers. They come in and move in. They have like a proboscis type protrusion, whatever it is, that stabs into the fruit, a young fruit. I think not so much leaves or flowers, but definitely they're going right into the fruit there. Tomatoes, corn, grapes. They do some heavy, heavy damage. This is an Asian variety of stink bug. It's very prolific. It's able to reproduce like crazy, and they don't quite know why they're coming in such big numbers. I suspect it has something to do with an imbalance in nature, extreme weather patterns, industrial agriculture. I think some of these guys were even immune to some of the insecticides. Yeah, that's part of why this is making a big story. It's like you get these super bugs all of a sudden, and because the insecticides just don't work after a while. It's like herbicides. It won't work after a while, and you get super weeds or super bugs. So I looked a little further into it and found out that is it the EPA or the FDA? I think it's the EPA issued an emergency edict, or Congress allowed them to approve two types of insecticide and pesticide that were previously not allowed. But because it's an emergency, just this once, we're going to approve it so you can spray for stink bugs. So if that's what's happening out there, maybe Wednesday morning when I come back between 7 and 8 a.m., I'll have a whole full report on the stink bug dilemma and maybe even give you an EPA fact sheet on the pesticide so that you can know what kind of crazy chemicals are floating around out there. I wonder how the bees are doing, speaking of. I've seen a bunch of bees. I got stung by a wild bee in my truck when I was driving. I'd never seen anything like it. It was like really small and like fuzzy, and I don't know why he went down my shirt. It wasn't a good place for him to be. But big hello to Sam Comfort down there, Anarchy Apiaries. He's been conducting workshops at the Germantown Community Farm for AKA Fog and Thistle. But Anarchy Apiaries, look him up. I haven't made it to any of his workshops yet, and I'm really bummed. But I heard they're really great. You can learn the ins and outs and even take a hive home with you maybe, or learn how to make it yourself. And the work he's doing and the other beekeepers in our county that I'm aware of is super, super important. And I suspect it's because people with Sam, like Sam around, which is why the bees will never go away. Gotta love those bees, folks. Let's see. What else? We've reported previously on stories such as the war on hogs. Apparently the FDA, EPA, USDA, I don't know, one of these groups. I think it was the USDA declared some sort of emergency in New York State and basically declared feral hogs or wild swine or wild boars apparently are a huge population in New York, so they claim, and basically said it's open season, so if you see any wild boars, you're allowed to shoot them. I don't know if I support that whole strategy. It seems like, I don't know. Anyways, they can be very destructive to the environment and so on. That's just such an interesting story, because at the time, I wasn't even sure about the existence of feral swine in New York. So they're out there. They are out there. Beware while walking in the woods. The big hairy beast with tusks. Mushrooms. Francis. Chanterelles. Francis always brought some chanterelles by our house recently. Some great chanterelles out there. Other good stuff, I'm sure. He was going to try to come in and chat with us a little today, but I don't think it's going to happen. He sprained his ankle while foraging for mushrooms. So I wanted him to come in. I thought I had a story here. I think I do. To talk about the very present, clear, and present physical dangers of foraging in the woods. We'll have to have Lauren back again, too, to talk about her wild crafting. She's mostly after the herbs and beneficial plants to make tinctures and medications and all sorts of wonderful, good, healthy stuff. So anyway, had to say hi to Fran out there. Sprained ankle. Tough foraging. Dangerous stuff out there. So these are the people. Boots on the ground, folks. Also, Hillary Corson, our dear neighbor of mine, from actually High and Mighty Stables, where you heard the PSA at the beginning of the program. She has a show. I think she's still doing it. I believe it's the... what Tuesday is it? Oh, no, it's Tuesday. Well, the first Tuesday of the month, or... Tuesday, 2 p.m., one time a month, is the Hawthorne Valley Show. She'll probably be giving you more insight on what's happening over there at Hawthorne Valley. And once again, I am on in the mornings with Mr. Phil Grant, Wednesdays, 7 to 8 a.m., 7:15 to 8 a.m., or depending. And we talk about what's in the news. Apples are good for you. Boy, I'm pulling them out of everywhere, folks. Another story. This is a positive news. Now, if any of you didn't know, apples are good for you. They are, because they experimented on mice with apples, and now it's been proven. I don't know why they had to sacrifice a mouse for that one. I think anyone could have told you. But anyway, apples are good for you, and furthermore, they now can be an option in the New York State public school system for school lunches. There is a new law that just got passed that states schools can now opt to have New York grown in their school lunches. What do you know? In the heaviest agricultural area in New York State, some of these kids are eating apples from Chile and canned spinach from, where is it from? Who knows? Far away. So yeah, great legislation being passed right there with the apple on the apple front and on the veggie front. So definitely another interest of mine, major issue for me, is that of school lunches, of what we're feeding our children. And the fact that there's farmers all over the place exporting their product billions of miles away, or whatever, thousands or even hundreds, when there's public school systems with kids that eat lunch every day. So that's getting back to basics there, folks. So also on the horizon, you will be seeing the Hudson Co-op. We're all hoping they have another meeting coming up, and I don't have the date. That's so unhelpful of me. I'm sorry. But look out for another meeting for the Hudson Co-op that they're trying to establish. That's really exciting. Hudson definitely needs a co-op, in my opinion. That should be really wonderful. And Philmont as well, the old Stewart's building, Stewart's gas station in downtown lovely Philmont will become a co-op. So they have had meetings on that fairly regularly. And we'll keep you updated on that as well. So, moving on. I think I'm going to play another tune for folks. Another Irish tune. And this one is Seamus... Who is this? Jackie Daly and Seamus Craig. My goodness. Boy, those guys look very 1960s here. But this song I picked out because it's called Cleaning the Hen House. It's a bunch of reels. Probably no words. Is this one no words too? But that's all right. Because if you're out there cleaning the hen house right now, all you need is some good Irish racket in your brain to help you. That's got to be one of the worst jobs possible. And the last time I cleaned out the chicken house was a long time ago. And it happened to coincide with the absolute muggiest, hottest day on record at the time. Good scheduling. So try not to clean the hen house today, guys. Maybe tonight or early in the morning is the best time. And here you have it. Here's a reel for y'all. Cleaning the hen house. This one's for Antoine and Ashley. Okay, and that was Jackie Daly with Seamus Craig playing Cleaning Out the Hen House. Gotta love it. So we're getting towards the end of our show here, folks. Unfortunately, Francis didn't make it in, but we will be having more farming programming for you and interviews with local farmers, particularly coming up. We have lots scheduled. And I definitely am going to be continuing on our ongoing issues. Sorry about that. And we'll be talking more about biodynamics, GMO issues, all sorts of good stuff. Another news story I just wanted to share with you all is the rooftop hydroponic greenhouse houses and the rooftop gardens have been taking off in the city. That's another segment I want to do, is talk more about urban gardens. I saw a presentation at a class I took at Hawthorne Valley, the Farm Beginnings program over there. It was starting a business plan for startup farms. It was a great class. We visited lots of farms and had a presenter. She actually came to talk about rooftop gardens down in New York City. And these are great systems. I mean, they're just beginning. They're just starting. But it really, really is exciting to hear what's going on there with the rooftop gardens. And now they're putting greenhouses up there as well. You have these buildings just with immense flat space that, if you just imagine greenhouses, gardens, and solar panels up there on these roofs, things could begin to start changing for the better, I think, down as far as the food supply in the city is concerned. Really shooting for this localized food movement is definitely exciting and super important. The problems in agriculture have just been coming on so strong with the degradation of soils, erosion of soils, with, you know, really the health of our farms declining, the economic situation for a lot of farmers, the dairy industry. You know, we really gotta just keep at it. I just part of the reason I'm doing this show is that I'm so grateful that we live in an area where these folks out there really trying to take care of the soil, take care of the earth, try to grow good quality food, because after all, food is probably the most important thing we do to our body, is put food in it, and the type of food is majorly important. So biodynamic agriculture actually seeks to address a lot of these problems of soil degradation, soil health, soil fertility. And these series of lectures that were given in 1924 in Europe by Rudolf Steiner inspired a bunch of farmers over there to really start utilizing these indications that he gave through these lectures on how to increase the health of your soil and to actually have sort of a part of it. I mean, it's so vast, the whole world of biodynamics. You know, you have the very practical diversification, having animals, having a large enough farm where you can have the right types of balance between woods and hedgerows and wetlands and types of crops. Just, you know, there's all sorts of methodologies of using manure, using cow manure, the importance of that. But also what's interesting is the use of the what are called the preparations. And basically these substances are stirred up by the farmer or the helper, and are used as kind of a homeopathic approach to the soil fertility. Basically, working with trace minerals, working with very fine dilutions, sorry about that in the background, fine dilutions of these substances, that the idea is that it helps on these minute levels that are really hard to quantify, and especially with the tools that we have in science now, but nevertheless enhance and encourage true intelligence of a plant or the soil, for example, just really allowing the plant, for example, to take up the right nutrients that it needs, accessing the nitrogen. You could put all the nitrogen you want in your soil, but that doesn't necessarily mean that your plants will be able to access it in the right form. What's happening on a microbial level is just so complicated down there in the soil. So fascinating. Absolutely. So there's a little BD insight for you, not too much. But yeah, so basically insight, indications, and advice in these lectures It gave rise to this whole new approach to agriculture. And it focuses on the farm as a whole, and an individual organism, an individuality, a diverse organism, which strives, always striving to become self-sustaining as much as it can with the size, and encourages real close relationships between the farmer and the forces of growth, including the planetary constellations. I mean, the planetary influences, the sun influences, that's an obvious one, but the moon influence also, it's not always as obvious with the lunar influences on growth, but it does happen, and this approach seeks to work with those forces as well, and the constellations as well, and the entire cosmos. Planets have long been believed to have certain influences on types of plants. So there's more science, more research to be done in these areas, and lots of folks, lots of them local, have been working on it, myself included. And biodynamics is taking off on the West Coast. It's starting to pick up here. It's becoming mainstreamed in some areas, for better or worse. We'll be talking more about that as well. But basically, by working with the substances, the fertility, water, plants, the animals, the farmer, and the whole universe, basically, the goal is to bring as much health, vitality, and life forces to the farm and to ourselves and to the world. So there you have it, a little bit of BD insight, a little biodynamic insight for you folks out there. I think what we're going to do, since we're wrapping it up, is play one more quick song. A quick song. And this one is Tommy Makem. Okay, from Live at the Irish Pavilion. And this one is called A Son of the Soil. Son of the Soil, Tommy Makem, folks. Tommy Makem, rocking and rolling as we wrapping up the farm show here on WGXC 90.7. Beautiful Monday afternoon. See you in a couple of weeks, and tune in on Wednesday morning if you'd like for the Ag Report, 7:15 to 8 a.m. with Phil Grant. And to all you farmers out there, keep up the good work. Farm fresh food, you gotta love it. We're going to wrap it up here. I wanted to actually start reading off some of the farms that I have here in front of me. But we have to actually wrap it up. That's it for time. And we are going to sign off.
Broken, the others are not too strong, and 'tis often I heard it outspoken that some of my notes are wrong. A dozen long years I've been shaping, singing and making rhymes, very often contrary and pulling out airy times. sleeping in very cold places, and often out late until dawn. And 'tis often I heard them comparing myself and the tailor barn. A pair of rollicking sportsmen, and nearly both one size. Very fond of the porter, 'tis bulging out both our eyes. The people knew well we were topers, and often out late until dawn. And the dogs would be barking before us, and welcoming home Denbon. 'Tis often I drank with this tailor at market or fair each time, and Sunday was never a failure. We thought that our game was fine. He used to be acting old capers and singing old queer o'cons, and the landlady shouting for payment and cursing the tailor barn. There wasn't a tramp in the nation, ugly, fair or fine, or people of very low station, they're pulling out airy times. We drank with journeymen bakers and every queer sprisson, and you'd think when you'd look at their features they were cousins of Taylor Barn. I struck up a comical bargain myself and Dan Barn last June, for to meet him at Old Killifada, 'tis there we'll be marching soon. Plowing and setting the garden, and turning out shapes of barn, and we'll take an odd trip to Kilgarvan, myself and the tailor barn. And I will put in for Malfoley, for everyone knows she's fine, and 'tis often her father he told me her money of course was mine. The tailor and Sean will go poaching, and coming in home about dawn, and the mate and the fish will be roasting for myself and of course Dan Barn. And I'll have the nice little farm myself and my darling wife, and I won't be afraid of the storm that's crushing me all my life. And if you've a son or a daughter, as fortune may fail.
Listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acra, Catskill, Hudson, listeners-supported hands-on radio for Greene and Columbia counties.